The title of my message today is Christ is Light this New Year. Our passage is Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. Christ is Light in this New Year. It's God's will for us to live victoriously in this New Year. And we can. We can live victoriously. We can live without hopelessness. We can live without fear. We can live without utter frustration in this new year before us if we are committed to Christ and if we are confident of all His promises to us, as we've sung repeatedly and confirmed in our confession of faith today. To live in victory in 2023, we need to follow God's plan for us, because the Christian knows that each day is really about living in a relationship with the living Savior. It's fascinating to look at how different societies and cultures attempt to ensure a great new year by doing some very strange things. For example, on New Year's Day, people in Japan eat fish which are able to swim against strong currents, believing that this will enable them to move against the strong currents which they anticipate that they'll face in the coming months of this year. People in Hungary eat roast pig with an apple or a four-leaf clover in its mouth, believing that this will bring them good fortune and health in the coming year. Another part of the world, women eat chicken gizzards, thinking that this act will make them beautiful during the new year. In America, a lot of people eat black-eyed peas and greens on New Year's Day in an attempt to ensure a new year of health and wealth. Someone said, I knew someone who did this every single year, and I asked them, you seem to be doing fine, but you have some health problems, and you are not financially independent. So why do you keep following this practice every year? The person answered, yes, that is true. But just think how bad things would be if I didn't eat black-eyed peas and greens every year on New Year's. What can we do as we face an uncertain future? We certainly don't believe in superstition or hope in man-made things. Surely we do face an uncertain future right now in our world, with a pandemic still lingering after nearly three long years, political unrest in our own country as well as throughout the world, rising inflation and all the goods and services we need to survive every day. It could sound hopeless, but for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Last week on Christmas, we looked at hope is alive, love has arrived. This is manifested to us from a baby in Bethlehem. That is, of course, why we celebrate the Christmas season, because of a baby who came in love to be the light of the world. In this light, we find Christ. We find hope in darkness. Today we're going to look at Christ in love as light in this new year. Our text is Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. Before we read our text, I want to read a short section of a Christmas book that talks about this passage of Isaiah. This book is called Unwrapping the Greatest Gift by Anne Boskin. That says, what would it be like if you had to walk around all your life in darkness all the time? What if you never stopped stumbling around in thick darkness everywhere? And no matter how you stumbled around, you could never find even a glimmer of light in the endless darkness? Or if you lived in a land of deep shadows, that went on and on forever. And then one day, bright white light, fireworks of light, explosions, sunbursts of light, because in the middle of a land of deep and dark shadows, a baby was born, a baby who was God in skin, a baby who was there when the sun itself was first ignited at the edge of time, because to you a child is born, right into your dark and your sadness and sin, and baby Jesus is light himself. Jesus is the only real light in the whole wide dark world. Turn to Jesus, and the light always turns on inside of you. For a baby has been born, the only one who is blazing light. And all the people who have been bumping around in the dark, blinking their eyes to the relief and the miraculous and the miracle of light, warming their face, and they name that baby. They come close to the only real light in the whole world. Because under that fresh baby skin is the forever Father God who is without end. Jesus is our forever light. So you do not have to stumble in the dark. You do not have to fear the dark. The book goes on to say, Jesus is our light in the dark. And we could never light with a match or flick on with a switch. Jesus is the light we can only find. Jesus, like Christmas, Christmas can only be found. Christmas cannot be bought in a store. Christmas cannot be created in the kitchen. Christmas cannot be made by hand. Lit up, set out, dreamed up. Christmas can only be found right there in the manger. Christmas can only be found in a manger. In the unexpected, in the dawning light of Christ. Joy has dawned upon the world. Christ is our light this new year. Let's look at our passage, and I'll read our passage with us together. Isaiah 9:2-7. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has the light shone. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at harvest. They are glad when they divide the spoil. The yoke of his burden and the staff of his and the staff for his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the triumph of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We know the Christmas story starts in Genesis to see the great need of the manifestation of Christ in love. We know God is love. We have talked about this many times. We talked about it at our Christmas program. We also talked about this last Sunday on Christmas Day. We know God is love. Therefore, everything he does in love. Today we're going to look at Christ in love as light. We're going to look back to Genesis 1. As you know, that says, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated light from the darkness. God is the creator of light. We know this. He is the beginning. He, in the beginning, created the light and saw that it was good. We'll see how then he becomes light, the light of the world. So first we'll look at the light of hope. We'll see the light of hope. In our passage in Isaiah 9, the prophet is giving hope to the righteous and grief to the wicked. We're going to see the upright, they shall arise light in the darkness. In the worst of times, God's people have hope to comfort themselves. Hope to help them in their troubles. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, where we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10 tells us, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We see we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. The hope we have, the comfort we have when things are at the darkest, he who formed the light will shine the brightest. At this time, when the prophets lived in Judah and Israel, the prophecies were a great light, both for direction and comfort to the people of God. Besides the written word, they had prophecy to give them hope, to give them light in darkness. Those who lived in deep darkness, as verse 2 tells us. We will not see the full accomplishment of this light till our Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth. As we know, he comes as a baby in Bethlehem. He comes, yes, as we talked about last week, as love. He also comes as light, the manifestation of Christ as light to this dark world, to those living in darkness, deep darkness. He is a great light. When the gospel comes to any place, to any soul, light comes. A great light, a shining light, which shall shine more and more. It should be welcome to us, as light is to those that sit in darkness. The light shines brightest in the darkness. As we celebrate the new year at midnight, our fireworks start off in the darkness of night. All of a sudden, the black night sky was lit up with bright lights as the fireworks went off to celebrate and welcome the new year. Christ is that great light this new year. He is our great light in darkness. He is lighting up the way for us as we look to this new year with eager expectations of what could possibly happen this year, whereas we have been unfortunately tainted over the past few years, we could be tempted to look at all the bad that could happen this year. But this is not the right perspective for a child of God. With Christ, we have hope. Hope is alive. We have to look to him as our glorious light in this new year, and look to him to see all the great and marvelous things he is going to do for us in 2023. Christmas is the story of a baby who was sent in love, and a baby who was sent to be the light of the world. We're going to look at what this glorious light is. Look at another passage in Isaiah 59, starting in verse 20, going through 60 verse 3, and then we'll also look at Isaiah 60, 19 to 22. I'll read those. And the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, and my words that I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord. For this time forth and forevermore, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And then verses 19 through 22. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall be all righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. The least one of you shall be a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In his time, I will hasten him. A redeemer will come. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. As we see in the time of the prophets, it was a dark time when his chosen people were out of captivity. They had light and gladness and joy. They then knew the Lord and rejoiced in his great goodness. When the Redeemer came, he brought light with him. He himself came to be light. God is the creator of light. It is that light that gives us hope, the light that comes to Bethlehem as a baby. What is the opposite or the enemy of light? Darkness. Deep darkness, verse 2. We see darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. What was once in utter darkness is now shining. Light has come. The divine glory is now shining. This light of God has great power of attraction. We see in verse 3. The nations and kings will come to this light. We see God's glory shining, for he is light. Then we look to the end of chapter 60. We see here the promise of hope of eternal light. Eternal light from the Father. We see the sun and moon for light that are created by God for lighting the earth. The Lord himself, whose glory set over the city, is replacing his created light, the sun and the moon, with himself. This symbolizes the fact that God's people, his children, will always know his presence and the joy that comes from him. This divine light will change everything, including all the imperfections or sorrows of life. Those cleansed by sin, by Christ's work on the cross, will have a part in God's city. This is the promise of eternal light. No need for the sun or moon. The manifestation of God himself will be more light than the brightest day. Night will be done away. No need to separate the night and the day, because eternity is always light. With God, it is always light. Next, we'll look at the light becomes flesh. We see the light of hope, and now the light becomes flesh. We have hope because of the light. Now we will see the light becomes flesh. We see this in John 1:1-14. And that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hath not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to be a witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to be a witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of flesh, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son, from the Father, full of grace and truth. An amazing thing happened. The glory of God came to his people in a baby, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. We know from our study in 1 John, and also from the Gospel of John, that the author, the Apostle John, his major theme is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the manifestation of love in light. He is the light of life and the light of the world. Light and darkness are recurring themes in the Gospel of John. God is light. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Satan is the power of darkness. People love either light or darkness. And this love controls their actions. Those who believe in Christ are the sons of light, just like we already read in Genesis 1, that as the first creation, when the first creation began with "let there be light," so new creation begins with the entrance of light into the heart of the believer. The coming of Jesus Christ into the world was the dawning of a new day for sinful man. You would think that blind sinners would welcome the light. That is not always true, as we know. The coming of the true light brought conflict as the power of darkness opposed it. See in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. People will not understand what the Lord is saying and doing. As a result, they will oppose him. Throughout John's Gospel, we see the growth of the opposition, which will ultimately lead to the crucifixion of Christ. Satan strives to keep people in the dark, because darkness means death and hell, while light means life in heaven. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Next in John 1, we come to John the Baptist. He was sent as a witness to Jesus Christ. Tell people that the light has come into the world. The nation of Israel, in spite of all its spiritual advantages, was blind to their own Messiah. The witness is important to John. We see it here in the Gospel of John. We also know John, in 1 John, talks about the witness, John the Baptist, was only one of the people who bore witness of Jesus. Why did the nation reject Jesus Christ? Because they knew him not. They were in spiritual darkness. Jesus is the true light, the original light, of which every other light is a copy. The Jewish people had Moses and the law, the temple and the sacrifices, but they did not comprehend that these copies of the light pointed to the true light, who was the fulfillment, the completion of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ. In the Gospel, we find Jesus teaching the people that he is the fulfillment of all that was in the law. It was not enough to be born of Jewish descent. They had to be born again, born from above. He deliberately performed miracles on the Sabbath to teach them that he had a new rest to give them. He was the satisfying manna and the life-giving water. He is the shepherd of the new flock, and he is a new vine. so shackled by religious traditions that they could not understand spiritual truth. Jesus came into his own world that he had created, but his own people, Israel, could not understand him, would not receive him. They saw his works, they heard his words, they observed his perfect life. He gave them every opportunity to understand the truth, believe, and be saved. Jesus is the way, they would not walk with him. He is the truth, but they would not believe him. He is the life, and they crucified him. But we today do not need to walk in darkness. John 1, verses 12 and 13 give us the glorious hope, the promise of God that anyone who receives Christ will be born again and enter the family of God. This is a spiritual birth from God, not a physical birth that depends on human nature. The light is still shining today. The light Jesus is the light which puts chaos to rest. In the creation story, as we read already, God moved upon the dark, formless void, which was before the world began, and said, "Let there be light." Jesus is the light which shines in darkness. He is the one person who can save light from becoming lost to darkness. Left to ourselves, we are at the mercy of our own passions and our own fears. When Jesus dawns upon light, light comes. One of the oldest fears in the world is the fear of the dark. But we do not need to fear because with Jesus, night is light about us as the day. Light which Jesus is a revealing light. It is the condemnation of men that they loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And they hate the light because the light exposes their deeds. The light of Jesus is something that shows things as they are. It removes the disguise. It shows things in all their openness. It shows them in their true nature and their true values. We never see ourselves until we see ourselves through the light of Jesus. We never see what our lives are like until we see them in the light of Jesus. Jesus often drives us to God by revealing ourselves, by revealing us to ourselves. Timothy Keller said this, "In the presence of light, you see darkness. In the presence of power, you see weakness. In the presence of beauty, you see ugliness. In the presence of God, you see your need for grace." The light of Jesus brings a guiding light. If a man does not possess the light, he walks in darkness. He does not know where he is going. When a man receives that light and believes in it, when a person takes that first step of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, he walks no more in darkness, but in God's glorious light. One of the features of the gospel stories, which no one can miss, is the number of people who came running to Jesus, asking, "What am I to do?" When Jesus comes into a light, the time of guessing and wondering is over. The time of doubt and uncertainty and insecurity is gone. The path that was dark becomes light. The decisions that were made in darkness and uncertainty is now illuminated. Without Jesus, we are like men stumbling on an unknown road in deep darkness. With him, the way is clear, the way is full of his glorious light. Now we come to verse 14. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." He's simply saying this word, which created the world, this reason which controls the order of the world, has become a person. With our own eyes, we saw him. You know, Jesus was fully God and fully man. The Word became flesh. Here we have the full manhood of Jesus gloriously proclaimed in himself. In Jesus, we see him living life as he lived it as a man. Supposing we said nothing else about Jesus, we could still say that he showed us how to live this life that we are living today. Full of grace and truth. Grace, this word, has two basic ideas. It always has the idea of something completely undeserved. Something completely undeserved. It always has the idea of something that we could never have earned or achieved for ourselves. The fact that Jesus came to earth to live and to die for men is not something which humanity deserves. It's an act of pure love on the part of God. The word grace emphasizes at one and the same time the helplessness, poverty of man, and the limitless kindness and love of God. Grace and truth. Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He said, I am the truth. To see truth, we must look to Jesus. There is something infinitely precious for every mind and soul. Jesus did not come to talk to men about God, although we know he did. He came to show men what God is like, so that we might know him as intimately as we can. Jesus is the communicator of the truth. He told his disciples that if they continued with him, they would know the truth. He told Pilate that his object in coming into this world was to witness, was to be a witness to the truth. Jesus is the one who, amidst the shadows, makes things clear, who in the confusing moments of decisions enables us to choose what is right, who among the many voices who seek our life, our allegiance, tells us what to believe. The life of Christ is a manifestation of God's love to us. The glory of the Lord means, quite simply, the presence of God. When Jesus comes to this earth, men saw in him the splendor of God. And at the heart of that splendor was love. When Jesus comes to this earth, man saw the glory of God's love. We're the same thing. The glory of God is the splendor of love before which we fall in wonder, love, and praise. The world was in darkness, in need of a Savior. We know the need was great. We know the darkness was over the earth. So in love, Christ came as the light of the world, to be the light to save men from the darkness of sin. At the cross, darkness fell as Christ died. It might have seemed like the light went off. The world went out, but it did not stay in darkness. As the light of God, as the light of the world, raised from the dead and defeated sin and darkness and death. If you are a child of God, you are born of God, you have the light of Christ in you. You walk in the light as he is in the light. So as we face uncertainty in this new year, we should be full of hope and joy in the Lord, but we know we always have a tendency to fear the unknown. I am telling you today, we do not need to fear or worry in this new year. Because Jesus Christ is your light this new year. But if you have not believed, if you have not taken that step of faith that was made possible at the cross, then believe in the light today. Put your faith and trust in this light of the world, the Son of Christ. I start today by reading the story, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift. I want to read the rest of that story to you from that book at the close. That says, our God, who breathed stars into the dark, he breathed Bethlehem's star, and he came, a baby with lungs, and breathed in stable air. We are all saved from the dark of our loneliness because God is love, and He can't stand to leave us by ourselves in the dark. And it doesn't matter how dark the dark is, Jesus comes to the darkest places so you can see His light the brightest. And now Jesus comes to be God with us, God in us, and He makes you to be very real, miraculous candle, a light of joy and hope and love in the dark, wherever you go. The whole world is exploding in Christmas light, for unto us a child is born. Let's be a miraculous candle this new year, a light, of hope and love, joy, in the days to come. Let's be a light in the places we go. Let's go to prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, today we are truly grateful and praise your holy name, that you are the light of this world. Lord, yes, you created light. And Lord, as we know, the world was covered in deep darkness. And then you came to be the light as a baby in Bethlehem. Lord, you came and you conquered darkness, death, and sin on the cross. Lord, when you raised from the dead 3 days later, Lord, we now have victory over sin and death because of your great light, because of God's great love to us. But Lord, we know God so loved the world, He gave. Lord, today as recipients of that great love and light, we praise you. Lord, we pray that as we go forth this year, that we would go as miraculous candles, shining that light of Christ wherever we are and whoever we meet. Lord, help us as we go forth to be that light in the world, that light in darkness, as a witness